Okay. It's recording finally. That is not true, Austin. Okay, let's pray and we'll get out of here, or we'll get going. Not get out of here. Let's pray and we'll get going. Father, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for being good to us. I thank you for loving us, Lord. I thank you for HBF. Man, what a great church body we have. We're so busy about just the work and all the things that you've called us to do that sometimes we can become weary and well-doing, but Lord, it's just been several weeks since I personally have been in here, and I really miss it. And so I just thank you for the relationships that you've allowed us to build, and just the family that the Passpoint class is. Lord, I just I really appreciate these people. And so I pray that you just speak to us today as we get back into the book of Acts. It's been almost a month since we've been here, and Lord, I pray that you would just get the honor and the glory for everything that's said. And so just pray for Mitch as he's preaching in Passaic this morning. And just get the glory for all of it in Christ's name. Amen. One other thing, if you didn't know, it's not really a secret because they can't really... I don't think Emily knows how to rest, but Emily and Jared, Emily had the baby on Wednesday. Yeah, and they were here at CSA yesterday. So I remember when she had Atlee, like the day after she got out of the hospital, she was at volleyball. And then, you know, she was at CSA yesterday, and I'm like, man, girl, you need to learn how to take a rest. But anyway, we are not going to do meals from them for them, not because we don't want to, but they said it's really, they just go. And so they don't ever know when they're going to be home and when they're not. And so if you want to find a different way to show them some love, you know, maybe bake them some cookies or something, I'm sure that they would take that. I know Jared would, but anyway, so just throwing that out there. I forgot to say that. So, okay, if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Acts. We are in, excuse me, Acts chapter 15. Let me get to my notes here. Okay, so the book of Acts, we've been here for, I don't even know how long it's been. We've been in Acts for a minute. We are over halfway done, though. That's a plus, I guess, if you're wanting to be done. So anyway, we're working our way through the book of Acts, and there's been a lot of transition. We know that Acts is a transitional book. I don't want to do a ton of review, but I do want to make sure that we're kind of on the same page. And so, Mickey and Chance, this might be the first time I've got to see you guys since you got married. Congratulations again. I know that you guys have been around, but we were on vacation and different things. So anyway, congratulations. So anyway, that's how my brain works. It just kind of squirrels out all the time. So anyway, okay. So it's very transitional. Things are happening. You know, we've now made basically the transition from the Apostle Peter to the Apostle Paul, kind of taken the lead. And, you know, we, as we finished up a few weeks ago, Paul and Barnabas finished their first mission trip, right? They were sent from the church of Antioch to go, and they went, and, you know, they would go to the synagogue. They would try to share it with the Jews first. They would typically reject it, so then they would give the gospel to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, for the most part, would accept it, or at least some of them would. You know, then the Jews would get mad because, well, that's our gospel, but they didn't want it in the first place. And, you know, then they would run them out of town. There was some type of persecution. And go back and you can kind of see it. It's the same pattern every town, right? One of the towns, Paul even got stoned to death, right? And then he, like, resurrects from the dead and, you know, just goes and does it again in the next town. So we finished Acts 14 several weeks ago, the last time we were together, and, you know, that's kind of where we ended. Let's just, if you have your Bible, Acts 14, let's see. Go to verse 25. I just want to wrap up where we finished. And it says, "And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Italia and thence sailed to Antioch." So Antioch is where they were sent from, okay? "From whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. And when they were come, they had gathered all the church together and they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode a long time with the disciples." That's kind of where they ended. They got back to town, and they were like, man, you guys would not believe what God did, right? I mean, if you've ever been on a mission trip, I remember back in the day, we used to take a lot of mission trips at HBF, and we're actually kind of getting back, ramping back up with that. COVID kind of slowed that down, but, I mean, we're going to Oaxaca, and we're going to Pristina, Kosovo, in September. And so there's a lot of them. There's several trips lined up for next year. And so we're kind of getting back to that. But I remember one of the things we used to do is we would go on a trip, and then Brian would make sure that the team had an opportunity, whether it was on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night, to basically just share a testimony of like, what did God do on this trip? And it was always really cool just to hear about, I mean, obviously there's work going on wherever you go. You're sharing the gospel, whatever it is you're doing. Maybe you're working on a building, you're helping people out with this, that, or the other, all these different things. But the coolest part about that is just hearing about what God did in the life of the people who went on the trip. If you've ever been on a short-term mission trip, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you have no idea what you're getting into until you get there. And then you're just like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And then by the time you get home, you're like, I can't believe I haven't done this more often. And you're on this spiritual high, right? And that's kind of what Paul and Barnabas had to be on. They've been doing this for who knows how long their first trip was, you know, a long time. And they get back and they're like, you guys have to hear about all that God did. And that's kind of how it ended. And then that seems like, that's really cool. There's got to be like a really cool Philadelphian relationship going on. They're back. They're like, you guys, you can't believe what happened. But then, chapter 15 comes. But then, just like any time God makes a move, the adversary, the devil, counter moves, right? It's the story of the Bible. It's the theme of the entire Bible. It's a king and his kingdom, and it's the devil countering what God's doing, and God countering the actions that the devil's doing to counter him. And, you know, we know the end of the story, but that's kind of what's going on here. And we have to be prepared, because if you're not prepared, then you're going to fall into exactly what happened in Acts chapter 15. And so, you know, we get to chapter 15. Paul and Barney, they just get back. They're telling everybody about the great work that God did with the Gentiles. There's people getting saved. We're planting churches, right? That we're establishing the leaders as we came back through. Like, there's pastors here, right? That we're laying down our lives the entire way. There was this one time they were throwing rocks at us and I like died, but then I got back up. And like, you can just imagine the way he's telling this story to the church and all this is going on. All this is happening. And then some people get up and they say, yeah, that's cool. But that's what happens in chapter 15. They're like, yeah, that's really cool. But, and let me just tell you, because I've seen some things, right? We've been saved for a minute, and the longer that you're saved, the more that the Lord allows you to kind of experience and go through some really, really cool things. At times, some really, really not so cool things. And I've seen some things. And let me just tell you something that you need to understand. Don't ever let somebody put a yeah, but caveat on something that you've personally seen the Lord do. Don't ever allow somebody to put a yeah, but caveat on something that you have personally seen the Lord do. You can't change my truth because of your feelings, right? I understand that you might not like it, but it doesn't change the fact of what happened. I saw this happen. I saw God turn a hurricane like 180 degrees and go the other way when it was 100% supposed to go where we were going to be in India, right? Like the day of. Like, I've seen God do some just amazing things that you just kind of like open your mouth and you're just like, I cannot believe that just happened, you know? And then what happens is the world, or worse yet, other Christians, they want to put a yeah, but, you know, you just need to, I'm just telling you, don't ever allow someone to put a yeah, but caveat on something that you have personally seen the Lord do in your life, right? And you just need to hold on to that. Somebody maybe needed to hear that today. So anyway, flip over, keep your finger here. We're going to go through the first 11 verses of chapter 15. But just real quick, flip over to Galatians chapter, just a few pages over. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. I don't usually do a lot of flipping, but sometimes we do. The Apostle Paul also wrote the book of Galatians. And so, interestingly enough, a lot of the books that Paul wrote were on his mission trips. Some of them were later on after his mission trips, different things. But anyway, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9 says, I marvel, he's talking to this church at Galatia, and he's like, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ under another gospel. That's not something I want to hear from somebody. He's like, I cannot believe, it just appalls me, that you are so quickly removed from the grace that you know that is in Christ to what he calls another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There's only one gospel, by the way. So when he says another gospel, it's not like, well, there's this unknown thing. No, it's what he says in verse 7 is somebody has come in and perverted the true gospel, is what he's saying. Somebody has come in and said, yeah, but. Yeah, that's true, but. And that's what he's in verse 8. But though we or or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul's like, I know some people been in here chirping, and you need to not be listening to it. That's what he's basically saying. I know there's some people in here trying to counteract what we came in and gave you, which was the gospel. And let me just tell you, you need to not be hearing it. And they've got something coming, by the way. He even goes so far as to say, if another person or an angel comes and tells you another gospel, you need to throw it out, because there's only one gospel, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? And so that's kind of what is happening. I wanted to go there because that's what is happening in Acts chapter 15. Right? And so let's just read the first 11 verses here, and we'll be quick. And it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So basically they're like, that's really cool that you say these Gentiles got saved, but if they don't get circumcised, they're not really saved. Like, they might believe, but the proof's in the pudding, right? I guess if you're ready to really be a follower of Christ, this is what it's going to take. That's what they're saying. They're like, the law of Moses says this. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they weren't having it, by the way. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. So basically, they're at Antioch in the church telling everybody about what's happened on this trip, and there's some people that started chirping, like, yeah, but they haven't been circumcised, so they're not really saved. And now the church in Antioch's like, well, I mean, I guess that might be right. And Paul's like, no, that's not right. And so now there's kind of like this dispute, and the leaders at the church in Antioch were smart enough to say, you know what we should do? Why don't Barnabas, you and Paul, and these guys who have this different thought of this, why don't you head up to Jerusalem, the head church, the mother church, the church that where everything started, where Peter and James, the pastor of the first church, and let them decide, right? Because let me just tell you, if you ever come across something in your life that is, it's just confusing, and you're just like, I don't really know how to rightly divide this. That's what spiritual leaders are for. That's what the church is for. You know, it's great that we have pastors that are able to meet with people because, you know, this, that, or the other happened. But what we're really here for is, you know, to help rightly divide the word and expound the word to people. And yeah, if you have something going on in your life and you come for counseling, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open the Bible. I'm not just going to give you worldly counsel. I'm going to say, well, this is what the Bible has to say about it. And so the leaders of the church in Antioch were at least wise enough to say, I'm not getting into this. But you know who can? Go talk to James. Go talk to Peter. Right? They'll figure it out. And they do later in the chapter, and we'll get there in next week or the week after. But anyway, so that's what they said. So here's what you need to do. Go down and talk to them. And then in verse 3 it says, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring unto the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused them great joy and all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared the things that God had been done unto them. So the same thing, they get to Jerusalem, like, hey, man, Paul, you're back. So he does the same thing, like, hey, this is what happened on this trip. Everything was good, you know, given the same update. But then in verse 5, but, there's always a but. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So now they're not only saying you got to be circumcised, but you also have to keep the Old Testament law. It's bad enough to say you need to go get some physical operation done. It's another thing to say you have to go and now keep the law that nobody was able to ever keep. That was the point of Jesus coming in the first place, right? And so now you have to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter, which again, if you didn't know, this is kind of how we do things at HBF. Like, we have a standard of how we do things. Yeah, you can go and you can meet with one of the pastors, but if something comes up, like, we talk about things as a pastoral team, right? And like, hey, this is to make sure that we're all of one mind and one accord. And I think it's wise what you see as a picture. It says they came together to consider the matter. And then here's verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That he's referencing what happened in chapter 10 with Cornelius. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God, and put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers, meaning the Jews, because Peter was a Jew, nor we were able to bear? Why are you going to ask these Gentiles who know nothing about this other than simple faith to keep a law that you and I can't even keep? Why would we even attempt to expect them to do that if we weren't able to do it? That's what Peter says. It's really wise wisdom. Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. He's like, salvation comes through Jesus. That's where it comes from. That's basically what he says. Okay. So if you're looking for a title today, hopefully we can get to this point, but it's legalism versus liberty. And hopefully I get to that part of this, but legalism versus liberty. All right, next page. Sorry, I'm squirreled out. So what exactly is happening here? Like, I kind of tried to give you a little bit of a step-by-step of what's going on, how did we get here, right? But what do we call the very thing that's happening in chapter 15? Right? We have a word for that in the church. It's called legalism. Right? It's called legalism. Legalism can have a lot of different definitions. If someone was to ask me this morning when I was finishing all this up, you know, it may change a little bit a different day, but for the most part, this is a definition of legalism. Just right off the cuff, if somebody was to ask me. Legalism is simply a false standard that someone chooses to believe they need to uphold to keep themselves in God's grace. Legalism is simply a false standard that someone chooses to believe that they need to uphold to keep themselves in God's grace. And so, my question to someone who is choosing to live a legalistic life is, well, isn't that what the cross was for? Now, I understand, yes, the cross was for your sin, and we're talking about sanctification type of issues, but yet I still have God's grace on my life every day. Even if I choose unwisely to sin, I still have God's grace on me every day. So someone who chooses to live a life in legalism, who chooses to say, oh, we can't have drums on the stage because, you know, that's unholy. You know, who chooses to say, well, you can't eat or drink that certain thing because, well, that's unholy. Who chooses to say that, you know, you fill in the blank. You can't do that. I mean, isn't that what the cross was for? That would simply be my, you know, we heard a testimony last night. We had our first real meeting. We had a team meeting for the team going to Kosovo last night. And it's always good if you're going to go on a mission trip to spend some time together as a team. Just, you kind of know everybody, but sometimes you don't really know everybody. And so it's good to spend some time together, get to, you know, hear what God's showing them in the Word, or maybe a testimony. It's funny, I heard a testimony last night from a lady that I just greatly respect. And I didn't know this about her. And she was talking about how she grew up in such a legalistic background, and she had no idea that it was until they were going through discipleship. Not even, they were really just kind of submitting to discipleship because, well, they were just submitting to it. They already knew what the lessons, but until the lesson on liberty in Christ. And she was like, I had never heard that we had so much liberty in the fact that Christ, he paid for all of it, right? And it was just mind-blowing to me because people just choose to live in this type of, well, we can't sing that kind of a song. We can't do that kind of a thing. Well, you can't come to church if you don't have a suit and a tie on. Or, you know, you can't be a lady if you don't have a skirt down to your ankles. And, I mean, everybody has convictions, by the way. And if you want to live by your convictions, that's great. But it doesn't mean that that has to be the standard. Christ took care of all of that. Now, I would also say that, yes, there's modesty and there's all of those things. But let me just give you an example. This is one that sometimes I should be careful because you should never talk about things that just kind of irk you. But this is one that kind of just gets under my skin a little bit when it comes to my wife's even like, oh, when it comes to just legalism in the church. There are songs that, like praise bands, they won't sing because they're like, well, that one band sang that song. And, you know, years later, they fell into some sort of sin. So now all of their songs that they ever wrote, they're washed. Let me just tell you, and I heard this from Pastor Randy one time, and you know, I don't know if you, like, when Pastor Randy was healthy and when I was in HBI, I kind of butted heads with Pastor Randy just because we think so much alike, I think was the reason. But anyway, and he said something one time that I never forgot. He's like, there's no such thing as Christian music. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, and because I just didn't understand. There's Christian lyrics, but there's no such thing as Christian music. Music is music. You can make music with a box. You know, I've seen people make music with a stick and a bucket, right? You can make music with a harp. You can make music with a... music is music. It's what lyrics you put with it, right? But yeah, there are certain times that we say, well, we can't sing that song because, well, that happened over there. Does that change the lyrics of the time that they wrote it? Because they sure sound godly to me. And I think they sound godly to God when I'm singing them out in the car, right? And so I just, that's another one of those things, like, well, it's just legalism. Well, we can't do that. Why can't we do that? Right? I think Christ's blood was enough to cover all of those things, even the sin of someone else, even though that they chose to do something they shouldn't. That doesn't make that everything else that they've done previously. That would be like if, God forbid, I fell into some sort of sin. Now, really, God forbid, pray that that doesn't happen. Right? That would be like you saying, well, anything that Jason ever preached in his entire life has just washed. Can't go back and listen to that. I would hope that at some point over the last 18 years of my salvation, I've said something that was of profit. But yet, we just pick and choose. That's what legalism is. You're just picking and choosing. Anyway, I don't want to get too far off into that. There's a lot of things I would like to say, but Paige is probably right with her facial expression. I shouldn't. So, there's a couple of things I want to see, though, just in this passage. Just a couple of things. We're probably not even going to get to the legalism and liberty part. We'll get into that next week. But there's a couple of things I want to see, because this is really cool. Just in this passage, because I don't want to just skip over what actually happened historically, just to get to what is applicationally going on. Okay, so in verse 2, Paul calls out the false teaching. Like he's like, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with him, he wasn't having it. He's like, you're not going to talk like that. Like that is not the truth, right? That's just really cool. Paul calls out the false teaching. This is a question for you personally. Are you willing to call someone out for teaching false doctrine? Right? Are you willing to call somebody out for teaching another gospel? I'll never forget, Lee Carter was here. Most of you guys know Lee Carter. He's a missionary to Dominican Republic. He's just a wiry kind of guy. I like Lee. You know, it's kind of the way my brain works sometimes. And he was talking about, you know, they were doing street evangelism and they were going door to door and doing all these different things. And they ran into, as they were going door to door to these people's houses, they ran into a Jehovah Witness. And they were also going door to door. And so Lee's like, all right, I know what I'm going to do. And he started just going, as soon as the Jehovah Witness would leave a house, he would then go knock on the door of the house that they just went to. It was like, I don't know what that guy just said, but it's false. And here's what the Bible actually says. And he was just following them around. And then they got offended and they were like, well, you can't do that. And he's like, I'm just calling you out because that's false. The Bible said, like, are you willing to be bold enough to be like, that's not right? Right? That's not godly. Right? That you can't do that.
That's true, too.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot do that. You live in town, well, you got a Jehovah's Witness coming knocking on your door. Are you bold enough to say, I don't just want you to leave, I want you to quit teaching heresy to my neighbors? Like, are you willing to say that? My wife was. This was a long time ago, too. We lived in Harrisonville.
Maybe a little more offensive than that.
Anyway, but are you willing to call someone out? Especially like in the four walls of the church, yes, absolutely. The pastors are going to do that if they hear about it. But sometimes, like, if you know that something's not right and you know that something's getting spread, you don't have to be a jerk about it, but like, that, enough is enough. That's not what we believe. That's not what the Bible says. And I with a clear conscience, can't just sit here and watch you do it. Right? Are you willing to do that? Because that's what Paul did. You're like, well, yeah, obviously Paul's going to do it. Well, okay. I'm just saying, are you willing? Another thing I think is really cool. So they're like, they go back to Antioch. They're telling everybody about it. There gets this big argument, and they're like, you guys need to go talk to the church at Jerusalem. So it's the equivalent of like getting sent to the principal's office. They're like, fine. You know, Paul and Barnabas, they're taking the trip. They're even getting escorted, that's what it says, by people from the church at Antioch and then the people that they were disputing. So they're like, they're going to the principal's office. They're going to the church at Jerusalem. They're going to go explain this whole thing. But what's Paul do in verse 3? He's not just like, okay, well, I guess I can't do anything. In verse 3, he's like, in being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria. And what do? Declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy among the brethren. Like, even when they had other things going on, Paul never stops doing what it is that God has called him to do because of his circumstances. Like, I think that's something that even I myself needs to make sure that I don't lose sight of. Like, what's the theme of Passpoint in 2026? It was actually the same as in 2025, right? Hopefully somebody knows. Everyone be, right? Well, what does that mean? I actually talked about this last week when I wasn't even here. But everybody be what it is that God has called you to be by doing what it is that God has called you to do. What is God called you to do? Just do that. And that's how you're going to be what God's called you to be. Stop trying to do everything else and what everybody else is supposed to be doing. And just be what it is that God's called you to be. Okay, so anyway, let me just ask you. If you're being what it is that God's called you to be by doing what it is that God's called you to do, can the same thing be said about your life? Can the same thing, could I say that you fill in your name, that you never stop doing what it is that God's called you to do simply because of your circumstances? Because there's a lot of times that I'm like, well, in this circumstance, I need to kind of be careful. In this circumstance, I got a lot of things going on, and you know, I maybe need to just step back a little bit. We're really praying about some different things, and you know, God's just speaking to us, and you know, maybe I just need to slow down. No, God has called me to do what He's called me to do. And if He's asking me to do other things or pray about other things or whatever else, that's on top of that. The other things don't slow down because of my circumstances. Let me just tell you, life comes at you fast and it's not ever going to stop. It just won't. It's only going to get busier. It's only going to get harder. I hate to be the one to tell you that. Not really. Hopefully you just remember, like, hell yeah, Jason told me that. It's hard. The world we live in is not cool with us doing what it is that we do. They're just not. They want you to just, what Brian would say, capitulate, to just fit into what they want you to fit into. And at some point, you got to be like, I can't do that. Right? I eventually had to leave a really good job, a really good paying job, with some pretty good people, because I couldn't just go along anymore. It was hard. Right? It didn't put my family in a better position, I promise you that. I mean, it did spiritually, but I'm just saying that there are times that you have to realize that it's like, I can't quit doing what God has called me to do just because of my circumstances. You can't do that. You just can't. I just think that's cool. Paul's like, okay, well, if we're going on our way, we got to pass through these towns. I haven't got to say anything to these guys yet. So, hey, as we're walking, you can't believe what happened. He's just telling everybody, right? If you've ever had the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord, typically all you want to do is tell everybody about the fact that you got to lead somebody to the Lord. It's just really cool. It's just awesome, okay? So verse 7, another cool thing that happens, and we'll have to finish up here. We're definitely not going to get to the liberty versus the other word, legalism. We'll get into that next week, okay? But verse 7, what happens in verse 7? It says, "And when there had been much disputing, they got to Jerusalem, they're all going back and forth. Peter, he was the leader, basically, of the early church. Now, I understand James ended up being the pastor of that church, but Peter was the guy. He was the guy throughout the entire book of Acts until we switched over to Paul. Peter rose up and said unto the men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, talking about chapter 10, when he went to see Cornelius, right? A good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Like, you might not believe what happened with Paul, but are you going to tell me I'm lying? Like, you don't have to believe Paul, I guess. But are you going to tell me that I'm lying? That's what Peter says. And let me just say, God is perfect in His timing and ways. You know, we always say hindsight's 20/20. It's easy to look back and be like, man, I totally see what God was doing there. Right? I remember when God told us, no, you're not going to move to London. And I was like, why not? We want to go. It was a good thing. There was something for us to do. We had the blessing of the, it was the whole thing. And God was like, nope. And it was like, well, what did we do all this for? Now, again, hindsight's 20/20. You look back and it's like, I know exactly what God was doing, right? And it all makes sense. But let me just say, God is perfect in His timing and ways. Remember chapter 10? You know, Peter and Cornelius. Peter gets this call from God, hey, there's going to be somebody show up, you need to go talk to this guy, Cornelius, and Cornelius, he sends for him, and this whole thing, and he gets there, and he's like, well, I'm here, and Cornelius is like, well, what do you got to say? And they're like looking at each other like, wait a minute, you called me, and he's like, well, God told me to call you, and, you know, so Peter's like, okay, well, I guess I'll share the gospel, I ain't got nothing else to say, and, you know, what happens? He gets saved, his whole house gets saved, they're Gentiles, by the way, and, you know, then they get baptized, and then Peter goes back, and Same type of deal. They were like, well, you can't lead Gentiles to Christ. And Peter's like, don't tell me what God can't do. That's basically what he says. He's like, you're right, I can't, but God did. And so that's kind of how that whole thing worked out. So anyway, I just think it's really cool that God makes sure that Peter's here at just the right time. And sometimes we read through those stories and it's like, well, why did God even put the story of Peter and Cornelius in the Bible? Like, people get saved all the time and it's not written in the Bible. Because, I don't know the best way to say this, God is not bound by time and space like we are. He knows all things. And so he understands it. God allows and ordains things to happen that at the time may seem confusing because he doesn't work in the sphere of time like we do. He has no beginning or end. Here's just like one example of this. And you'll just have to like meditate on this because this, when I saw this, I'm like, I don't know that I do believe that. And if I do believe that, then I don't know that's unbelievable. And so in the Gospels, you read about Jesus going to the Mount of Transfiguration, right? He was there for 40 days. There were two other guys in the Bible that went up to the mount for 40 days. Who were they? Well, that's who went with him. Yeah, but who did they see? Elijah and Moses, right? Elijah and Moses both were on the mount, right? They were both on the mount for 40 days, right? And they say, we get this picture in the New Testament that Jesus is like, you know, Peter and John get to go see it. And they're like, well, who did they see? They saw Elijah and Moses. Now, again, God doesn't work by time and space like we do, but that all probably happened. I'm almost convinced of this at this point. At the same time, we read about it in different times in our Bible, but God's not bound by time and space, right? And so I don't know how all that works, but like the way that our minds work and the fact of, well, no, that happened first, but Jesus has no beginning or end. And they saw them there with him. I don't know, it's just something to think about. Another one of those cool things that I'm just like, God is just so big. And anyway, it's just something that I'm like, I can't believe that. It's insane to me. And there's so many things like that in the Bible. But anyway, that's the whole point is like, God allowed this to happen in chapter 10 with Peter. Because why? Because he knew this was going to happen in chapter 15. He knew he was going to need a messenger that people would believe so that the gospel could continue going to the Gentiles. God knows what we need to see to believe, but he knows that, but he's so much bigger than what we can comprehend. Like, he knows what we need, but yet he's so much bigger. God knows the end of the story before the beginning of the story started. So we should stop being confused when the middle of the story doesn't make sense because we weren't there for either. Let me say that again, because as I was writing that, I'm like, that's confusing, but it makes sense, right? God knows the end of the story before the beginning of the story even started. So we should stop being confused when the middle of the story doesn't make sense because we weren't there for either. But yet he was. We need to stop trying to put things in a way that we can comprehend them with our own little brains because God is so much bigger than that. And we just need to accept what is. Right? What does God say to the storm when they're in the water? Peace, be still. And there are times that I think God needs to just tell us, stop trying to figure out. Peace, be still. Just know that I am. What did he tell them? That's what he said. He said, I am. The Lord knows. Stop trying to control and simply be. I got two more quick things and then I'm not going to get to the legalism and liberty part. God knew he needed to use Peter in chapter 10 because he knew chapter 15 was coming. Even Peter wouldn't have believed it if he had not experienced it. If Peter wouldn't have had chapter 10 happen, they would have came to Jerusalem and he'd have been like, yeah, they're probably right. I had to get circumcised. You probably too. Right? But yet he experienced, when the Lord allows you to experience something good or bad, and you simply can't understand why, remember, he already knows what's next, and you can only see what's now. When something happens in your life, and you're just like, I cannot believe, or I don't understand why God would allow this to happen, or it just doesn't make sense, and this doesn't fit the plan, and let me just tell you, God knows the end, and you only know the now. It'll probably make sense. Hindsight's always 20/20. Stop trying to control the circumstances and allow God to just be. We have to just simply submit to Him. You know, and I really want to, we'll have to get it next week. This talk about legalism versus liberty, because that's really what's going on. And I want to make sure we understand how that applies to us, but we'll get into that next week. I got three things to understand to help us, you know, stay in the center of God's will concerning legalism and liberty, but we'll get into that next week. So with that, let's pray. I hope that made sense to somebody. There's some things that God's even showing me that I'm like trying to get my head wrapped around. But we just simply need to allow God to do what He's doing and stop trying to manipulate and control it. Father, I love You. I thank You for today. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the Past Point class. It's just really good to be back. And so, Lord, I pray that You would allow Your Word to just dwell in us, allow us to just meditate on it and see these things that sometimes we don't see at first, or but You show us, and God, You're so much bigger than we. And I pray that we would just learn to allow our hearts to just be still. Lord, I just love You. I thank You. Be with Pastor Brian as he preaches today. A lot of things going on this week with outreach and World Cup. I pray You be with the team from Greentown that's coming in. And there's a lot of things happening. Youth camp's coming up. I pray that, you know, just the last details of that work themselves out. And God, I pray that we are just simply being what it is that You've called us to be by doing what it is that You called us to do, and that we're faithful in doing it. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I got it.